big issue.
For
example, for the head position thing, what I mean it's based on the hashes we have from the disk, right? So from the disk, I was assuming that
Yes. Go ahead. You can erase all that. I should clean my board because I can it's becoming black. I don't know why it's becoming black.
So from the disk, I was starting all to hash the disks, starting on the block on the sector 63.
Okay.
And like this before, because I was assuming that even if you have many partitions and all of the file system blocks will start aligned to 63. But it turns out that this is true only for the first partition. So for the other ones, I'm still aligned to 63 on the hashes, but the but the requests come a sector ahead. So these hashes are not. That's why I wasn't seeing hits here.
No, hold on.
I mean, this is for replaying the thing and for this head scheduling stuff, right?
Okay. So you populated the disk using the block checksum.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much.
And those are page checksums, not block.
Page checksums.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's the issue.
And those pages are not aligned to the pages in the request stream.
Exactly, yeah. Are aligned to 63, which I assume would be the base for all the requests in any partition, but that's only for the first partition.
Okay. So then the question is...
So those hashes I have are garbage.
Except for
the first partition. And as I was actually replaying the homes, which were for most of the machines, the third or the fourth partition. That's one issue. The second issue is that, you know, on the reads, what I was doing first is whenever you have a read, I stack an NIO, and on the NIO I populate the event with the data. But because that was getting the traces way bigger than we needed, I was just saving for reads the sector, assuming that I had this and I could use this, but this garbage. So that happens for two of the four homes and for the two web servers. So now that I have those traces, I tried with replaying the traces with the hashing by now, 2 months later, 1 month later, and I don't know if that's valid or not. So I'm collecting traces again.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the main issue. And now I'm collecting traces. I'm dumping, even if the request is one block, I'm dumping hash for each sector, and I don't care how big is going to be the trace.
So you're taking per sector hash?
Per sector hash.
Okay.
Yeah. And also I'm hashing this per sector as well, just in case we have the misalignment. So that's the issue.
Okay.
I was sure it would be aligned to 63, but no.
I guess. Are all the requests in the first partition always page aligned?
From all the disks I saw, all the file systems start on 63.
Okay.
So they are.
and the request that you, the traces that you collect are absolute block numbers. They're not.
No, they are sectors.
They are sectors of the entire disk, not
exactly.
Within the partition.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so you know exactly where on which sector on disk you are reading.
Exactly.
And these traces are always page multiple IO requests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're saying, so the traces that you were looking at are the user homes for the four machines in the lab,
yeah.
Right? And for the two web servers?
For the two web servers, one of them has two partitions and the other has one partition. So for one of them, I have full traces, and for the other, only for the first partition.
And the second partition is also active?
Yeah.
So it, yeah, it does not make sense to use just one partition trace.
No.
So you already started the trace collection on these two web servers?
No, on the web servers. No.
Okay. So you, I guess you need to talk to Eric about that as well.
Yeah. Well, the idea was to place on, if the collector happens to work on Cheetah, we could place the same one on the actual physical machine of these VMs.
So the new collector with the Cheetah, has this modification to take care of the partition alignment.
Yeah, but it's
sector wide.
Exactly, but still not inserted. I have to wait for it.
Okay. But you've tested that on the lab machine?
Yeah.
So it will probably work with the web servers. It may have a problem with Cheetah, right?
Yeah. With the web server, it would work because
it's already been tested.
Yeah. But for Cheetah, I don't know. I mean, it should, but the first try on that kind of machines would be now.
Well, we tried something on the one of the VM servers. Right?
No, it failed the first time, and then we never tried again.
Okay. And we decided to just do it inside the virtual machine.
Yeah, to be safe.
Okay. So the other thing is that for the read requests,
I will dump the content as well.
Yeah, because the blocks change over time.
Yeah.
Right, because of the write operations. You
yeah.
could keep track of which blocks are being written
plus
to
color.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is going to be more cumbersome.
Yeah. I did because of size of the traces, but that doesn't make sense.
How big are these traces?
I'll actually not that. Oh, by the way, I places all the traces and stuff on the wiki.
Oh, you did?
But it's maybe for the homes, it's compressed, it's like 100 meg, something like that. It's not big at all.
Where is it, by the way?
I no, but I didn't comment it like. Louis did, but it's in, no, it's on resources, something like that. No, there was, maybe they don't appear, I have to, they're on the machine, but I think I have to actually add it to the page or something.
Yeah, it's, you have to edit the page and add these two.
Okay. Okay, you haven't
used the wiki page yet.
I have, but not as much as Luis and you.
Yeah, for instance, having this sort of information is important. What is the workload? Where are the file systems and where are the partitions and so on?
Okay.
because then if we want to use it later on, we would need all this information.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll comment that. And yeah, that's what I said.
Okay. So and your traces are also, you have block trace as well as your own trace?
No.
It's just yours.
Just mine. Yeah.
And you said that you can replay your format as well.
Yeah, yeah. So you could get block traces from that.
You cannot, because block trace is much more information. You have all these different
points. No. I mean, we could replay with my traces and block trace. But that's not that nice.
I didn't understand.
We replay with our tool. And by while replaying, we block trace.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That may add additional side effects. May include additional side effects. Yeah, I was thinking that you should probably have both block trace as well as your tracing. I don't know if that's meaningful or not, and how much overhead it would add.
I don't know.
Why did we need block trace? We needed block trace so that we could replay the traces. And it seems that your traces can also be replayed using BT replay.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I guess in that case we don't need block trace.
Yeah, there are two programs. One, the BT replay reads a formatted trace. So I'm just creating the trace in that format and send it to to BT replay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing.
Okay, so here, so right now we are in a we have a problem because we do not have. Partition aligned information.
Yeah.
And does that also change the statistics that you collect about similarity measures?
Yeah, but maybe not that much, because the reads are usually more than one block.
Writes. I guess the writes are the key thing. If you write a single page and have a duplicate somewhere else, then we may not be able to identify those as duplicates, because we part of the page in when calculating the duplicates is in a different page, real page.
Yeah.
We sort of have mixture of two pages, and both of them have to be the same for us to identify duplicates.
Exactly. Yeah. And for the reads, when we trace, it's a little bit outside the boundaries of what we assume is being read, and we can have some garbage here that might not be the same on all the
duplicates.
That's
right.
So we are losing duplicates.
We might be losing duplicates. But the other thing is, when you calculate block checksums, I thought you were reading one device partition after. So you're not reading device partitions. You're reading the entire disk.
Yeah.
So you're not doing partition wide.
Yeah.
Wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's...
Maybe if you do, you know, partition wise checksums, then.
Yeah, that will help.
That can solve the problem, right?
Yeah.
Then you don't really need to know which offsets to use and so on.
Yeah, but it's simpler to hash per sector. And that information can be useful as well.
Yeah, I guess it is simpler to hash per sector. Um, But then the amount of time required to populate the disk is also going to be larger, because instead of populating an entire page with the same checksum, you populate each sector with the different checksums. And then when you create IO request, that is also going to be interesting, right? I mean, how do... So each time you have an IO request, you are going to look at all block checksums independently. So the checksums then we maintain in the cache will also be at the block level.
Yeah. But
so the cache becomes a block level cache rather than page level cache.
Yeah, but I could still on our cache manage everything at the size of a page.
Page.
Yeah. Or the size of a block. Or four sectors. This better somehow because we have more information.
The thing is, now I'm trying to wonder a little bit. When you populate the data, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are writing only the checksums. So you write the same checksum over and over again.
Yeah, but I don't actually do that for on all the disks. I do only to what is related to what I'm going to replace.
I know, but what I'm asking is.
I mean, on a specific sector, it's like zeros and the hash at the start.
At the beginning, okay.
The beginning.
But when you read it and you compute the checksum again, the checksum would be completely different, right?
Yeah, but from the side of the module, it doesn't matter.
The reason is because your checksums in the trace are going to be different than the checksums that you get by reading the data, right?
Yeah, but there's no problem.
There's no problem?
The important thing is that if these two things were the same, now they're still the same.
Yeah, but I'm wondering that the checksum that you take...
Mm-hmm.
For a block that you populated is going to be the checksum in the trace for the same block.
I mean, if I rehash a hash, it won't be the same hash.
Yeah, it will be a different
value.
What I'm saying is that the hash that you create for a block would be different than the hash that you have in the trace. Although the content might be exactly the same.
Yeah, for reads it will affect. Yeah. I mean for writes, but for writes I do the same.
I'm just trying to walk through this process to make sure that we are not missing something here. So you populate the disk, not the entire disk.
Only related to reading or writing. Yeah.
Only the blocks that you're reading and writing.
Well, actually reading, excuse me.
Only the blocks that you read.
Actually, only the content that I read.
Only the content.
Because the content is more than the blocks that I read. Because a blog that I read can have copies, so I have to create a copy as well.
So when you start replaying the trace, at that time your cache is empty?
Yeah, but what I do is, let's say for this trace, I need to have, I need to have in the cache the information that this is the same as this. So the time I'm writing to the disk to set up the content, the module is there, so it
that's
will start
the problem.
Saving the...
Yeah, but that's the problem, right? Because your module is going to create the checksum from the checksum data.
Yeah.
which means that the checksums that you already store in your cache are going to be different than the checksums in the trace.
Yeah, that's true, but that won't be a problem.
That will be a problem because you don't know where the duplicates are for the data that is requested by the trace.
But the data that's requested by the trace is requesting a block.
Requesting the same.
It's requesting a sector number. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. So it's requesting. So you. So it's requesting a sector number.
And we happen to know that this is the same as that.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that's fine. So in your trace you can have read and write operations.
Mm-hmm.
When you do a read operation, the cache already knows if there is a duplicate.
Exactly.
And where those duplicates are on disk.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes and reads data from the disk.
Exactly. Yes.
For some duplicate, and does it compute the hash again or no? When it reads that, because it may read junk.
I mean, it the module doesn't know if we are replacing a trace or if it's real workloads.
I know, but since you know the duplicates and you did not populate all the duplicates with the correct checksum values.
Yeah.
You said you're only going to write data to disk for the read operations.
Mm-hmm.
So are you writing to all the duplicates as well?
I'm writing for the content. All the content related, on the content read by this guy.
By the trace.
Yeah, exactly.
I see, okay. So which means that all the duplicates will contain
the
right content.
They have to be there, exactly.
They should contain the valid content.
Okay. On disk and also on the cache. I mean, the cache has to know the relationship before spanning the trace.
Okay. So that makes sense. So read is okay. And then when you read in the data, do you compute hash again or you don't need to at that point? Because you already have the hash information.
When I read data, you mean to place it on a structure? No.
Trace requested a read operation.
Mm-hmm.
You saw there is a duplicate. You on disk, you know the hash information, right, for that data. So when you read back the data in, you don't need to recompute the hash, right? Because you already had the hash before.
I'm not getting it.
So I just want to walk through this because I was a little bit concerned about how it's being done. I'm getting more and more confident, but please bear with me while I walk
through. No, sure.
And so let's say you have the trace.
Mm-hmm.
No, first of all, you have your list of hashes, like hash, and the corresponding sector numbers for each of these. And this is getting populated when you initially write to disk,
mm-hmm.
create the content on disk. Now, let's say this is a read operation. So you look up the hash and see, okay, it's a hit, and there are two locations, one and two. So I send a read request to one. Right?
Okay.
Then you get a response. You compute the hash now? For the content?
I mean, if...
I guess you don't need to.
Right? Yeah, no, you don't need to.
In this case, you don't need to.
Yeah.
So it just goes directly.
I mean, it depends. If you have that content on the cache, you save it. And if you don't... I mean, if you have it, you don't save it and you send it directly. But if you have it, if you don't have it, you have to
create a hash.
You have to create all the necessary metadata and.
Okay, and store the data.
Exactly.
Well. Okay. Okay. So now read is fine. So let's say this is a write. Let's say this is a write operation, and in the write operation, I have a block which has checksum and then all zero, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For each block.
Exactly.
So here what you need to do is if my trace is for write of 10 pages, then I need to create 10 write operations. or
no, you will create a single request. Yeah.
With so 10 such pages.
Exactly.
Right.
With like zeros. That. Zeros and
okay.
Exactly.
You have checksum and then zeros.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's coming in, and so here you check the hash, see if. So if the hash has already this information, then
let's assume we have a the writes don't cache anything; they just go through.
They just go through. The writes just go through. But I should, if I don't have it in the hash table, then I should create an entry.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
So if it's not here, I will add an entry and cache it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it might get, it might be a duplicate or something.
Or it might be a duplicate, in which case
we don't actually save the.
I just page. Add another
exact
entry yeah. here, and send the right operation for that.
Exact.
Okay. I think this makes sense.
I was thinking how. The disk is being populated with the valid data, and how the data that's being populated in the disk matches with the data in the trace.
Oh,
I think that's fine.
Yeah. If we had only reads, the trace doesn't know about contents, right? The trace only sends requests per sectors. But if we have writes, the way we create the block giving a hash has been the
exactly
way
the same way is
exactly.
As it created on disk.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way.
Okay, that makes sense. And okay, so now, right. So, do you? Okay, so you have. Let's say you have multiple partitions, right? And you have a trace which is accessing data in all of these partitions, in each of these partitions. So you have to populate each of these partitions.
Yeah, now, I mean, with the partition thing, I have to think about it by, I guess it would be the same, right? I mean, if I see everything, I mean, the trick is not think about partitions, really. Just seeing that this is the whole thing, but maybe some blocks are more misaligned than others, respect to 63 or something.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that the size of the hash table is going to increase by a factor of 8, or
the
memory.
The size of the hash table.
In the memory? And.
I mean, that is.
Now the hashes cannot be so easily created because you have one hash per sector, but to create one hash per page.
Yeah, but still, if we see it the same way, whenever you create a page to be written to disk, now you create a page to be written to disk, not based on a simple hash, but based on 8 hashes. And if we create it the same way as we created it, and if we create it for write, should be the same, even though some blocks are, they don't have to be aligned, that's the matter.
But you need to know which 8 hashes to combine together, and for that you need alignment information.
No, I mean, if I create this page, like, for 8 zeros and the hash, zeros and the hash, zeros and the hash, and I don't care which 8 are for which block, it's the same.
Yeah, but when you compute a hash at a per page granularity, then you need to know which... Which hashes to combine together to
or which blocks to combine together to form a page. I'm trying to walk through this more carefully. Because if we do sector-wise checksums, then we may have a problem with how to maintain page-wise hashes inside the kernel.
I mean, it's the same. Imagine instead of having hashes, we have the whole page raw, like the whole content.
Okay.
Would be the same. And having the hashes per sector is an intermediate step.
Okay, I see what you mean. So now the content that you write is on per sector, with each sector having a checksum and zeros.
Exactly, yeah.
And when you populate the data to the disk, again you do it at a per sector granularity?
Yeah, but let's say I have requests for 63 and 100.
Mm-hmm.
These only doesn't have to be aligned. These are not aligned, actually. So this request is for 8 sectors, and this request is for 8 sectors. So it's the same. I get these 8 sectors.
So what I mean is, so when you initially populate the disk,
mm-hmm.
you have to populate aligned with IOs that are aligned to the partition. Otherwise, the checksums, the hashes that are created here can be arbitrary. So what I am saying is that for the first partition, you have to start writing a page from...
Yeah, but let's say I write this 8 like this. I mean, it will always get the case that I have this.
That's right.
And even if I have this, I'll still have this. But that won't be the case.
What I'm saying is that you still need to align your populating of the disk to the partition.
Yeah, but I'm writing where I'm asked to write, and that's aligned to the partition. Because all the requests are aligned.
But in here, you have, how do you create the...
This is per sector.
Oh, this is per sector?
Per sector.
Not per page?
Not per page, per sector.
This is in memory, right?
Yeah, it's per sector.
So the size of this table is going to multiply by 8?
No, I mean, the position of this is a sector, but the size of this is a block.
Is a page, you mean?
It's a page.
I understand, but what is the first? This is the first sector in the page. Is this the first sector in the page?
No. I mean, this is the first. This is the first sector in the page, and this is a page. Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, the first sector. Let me say sector N.
Mm-hmm.
The number N is obtained from the bio.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
So which means that for my pages to be aligned to the partition, my bios to populate the disk also have to be aligned to the partition.
But they will, because I'm getting these traces from valid requests already aligned.
To populate the disk?
Yeah. I mean, I populate the disk with the information from the trace.
From the trace, okay.
Which are requests that are aligned.
Oh, I see. So both read as well as right.
Yeah.
And how do you identify duplicate pages? Duplicate pages are identified before you do populating of the disk, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Because you said that if I have a replica for N here and I have another one here, and only the
trace has a request to DS.
This also gets populated.
Exactly. I have the list of blocks, and I have to create a bigger list of content.
So when you populate the replicas, then you need to be page aligned. Then you need to be aligned.
Okay, now I get your
to be aligned to the partition. I'm trying
to get your. So I could save that by I mean, to make it easy, before the replaying, I write these minus and plus 8 sectors. And that's it, the same. And we have that information.
I don't know if that. So.
Would be the same. Imagine the best case. I rewrite the whole disk for each sector, zeros and the hash. It's pretty much the same. There's no way I'm going to be before and after this.
Or alternatively, what you could do is when you that's what I mean. So when let's say you're in the trace, you're accessing this sector,
okay,
and it has a replica here.
Mm-hmm.
This sector has a replica here, but it may not be aligned to the page. And
yeah. But now that I think about it, okay. So I have the trace reading these, but I'm looking for all the copies of these. Right. I need
copies,
but not page copies of these that are not actually aligned. So it's not enough to have this portion here and this portion here. I need the whole thing. So
if you first you take block checksums.
If I redirect this IO to a misaligned position, it's okay.
It is okay, but when you populate the disk, this hash has to create the correct duplicate entries, right?
Yeah, but the position of this is per sector.
It's per sector.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying that I'm only going to look at the checksum of the first sector, or
no.
Okay. So then how do I identify duplicates in the
maybe this. From the structure point of view, this is an entry, and this is a different entry.
Mm-hmm.
That helps? No. I think that was your concern. For me, for the structure point of view, this is one entry, and this is another entry. It doesn't matter if they are aligned or not. It's just some portion of memory plus a sector number.
Okay.
And, for example, this request can be redirected to this or this, even though this is not aligned to this or this is not aligned to this. That's as well.
Yeah, I guess I'm still confused how you are going to eliminate the requirement for
sector.
For understanding the partition alignment for each request. To me, it seems that if you want to have page-wise hashes, but block checksums, you need to know where the partition starts to identify the correct starting sector number for each page. Because you cannot pick an arbitrary sector number to begin a page. If you just look at block checksums without having information about where is the partition boundary, I don't think how you can create hashes.
Things that, I mean, let's say this is a sector. The partition cannot start here. The partition will all start aligned to the sector, to sectors.
Aligned to sectors. But not to pages.
Not to pages. Yeah.
Not to pages of the disk.
Yeah, but
you want in your hash pages that are aligned to the beginning of the current partition, right? Because those are the IOs that you will see in your request stream. In your, I'm just referring to the in-memory hashes that you maintain per page, those have to be aligned. The starting block numbers have to be page aligned to the beginning of the partition in which those data reside, because the requests that you get from the trace will be aligned to those page aligned to the partition.
Yeah, but if you transform that request to a misaligned page, it's okay. The important thing is to respond to that request, and you the data will be correct.
Okay, so one question is, how do you identify duplicates?
How do I identify duplicates?
Duplicate pages.
By hashing. Oh, no, actually...
No, but you have hashes only for blocks. You have only block checksums, right? So you can identify duplicate block sectors, but you need to identify duplicate pages.
Yeah.
So you issue IO requests to populate the disk for all the duplicate pages. And in doing that, you will also create the page-wise hash table of the duplicates in memory.
Yeah.
So how do you identify the duplicate pages, given that you know where the duplicate blocks are? So you know where the duplicate sectors are, because you do sector checksums.
Yeah, but still, say n equal to n.
Mm-hmm.
These are eight sectors.
Mm-hmm.
These are eight sectors.
Sure.
And this is not aligned to this. Let's assume this is not aligned to this.
Let's assume that it is aligned. Because that's the case you want to capture, right?
Yeah, but it shouldn't matter. That would be better.
It shouldn't matter.
Okay, let's try another one. Oh. Okay, this starts at sector M, this starts at sector M, and this starts at sector O.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say this is aligned to this, but this is not aligned.
M is aligned, M and N are aligned to the beginning of the
partition,
and O is not.
O is not.
Okay.
Yeah. From the point of view, let's say these three are the same. From the point of view of the structure, whatever of size eight sectors, this is the same as, let's say from the side of view of the structure, N is equal to M and is equal to O, because the content starting at M is equal to the same of the content starting at M and equal to the content starting at O, of size eight sectors.
Okay.
And even these are not aligned. So a request to these can be redirected to these.
It can be, certainly. But the question is, my question is, how do you identify?
How did I identify that these are the same?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's at the beginning on the cache, I only had O. I knew that O started at O. And O had content O. So the next time I have a request, let's say I have a request for M that starts at N. And so I have content. I read and I got and then I have the data. So I search on the cache for the content N and I check, oh, N is actually equal to O. So I map these two.
No, but you need eight sectors worth of information. To begin with, you have only block sector checksums, right?
Yeah.
Only sector checksum for each sector.
Yeah, but that's good. I have a hash of these.
How do you create that hash in memory? The first one.
These. You mean O.
Yeah.
How do I create a hash in memory? It's a hash of of this content.
Yeah, I understand that, but how do you know that you need to create the hash for O, especially when it's not page aligned?
Because I hash whatever I can get.
So you hash all 8 sector
content? That's what I'm saying. I hash even if I have a request to this, I'll still hash it.
So in the beginning though, let's say you have only one request to, then in the trace you will not have a request to O, because in the trace always has
exactly
page aligned.
Yeah, the request has, yeah, you won't have a request to O.
So you have a request to N, and let's say you read the 8 pages and you get a hash for the all the 8 pages, all the 8 sectors, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So
to find O, I won't find O based on the hash of N. I will find O assuming that, let's say, this is a sequence of characters, this is a sequence of characters, that in this case are sequence of 8 sectors.
Mm-hmm.
I will search for the sequence that is the same as this.
Oh, so you're saying that you will search through, this is when you populate the disk, right?
Exactly, when I populate the disk.
So when you populate the disk, you take each request in the trace, and take their first sectors and find out if they are duplicate,
and then finally the whole thing is
and
the same.
If all the duplicate sectors are also the same.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the same for page, because most of the requests are more than one page, so we'll still have to do the same.
Mm-hmm. O is not page aligned.
O is not page aligned.
So you will create a request for O of size 8 sectors.
Exactly, yeah.
Correct? To write to the disk.
To write to the disk. And for the point of view of the cache, it will be only I have the content for O that happens to start at O. It
mm-hmm.
can be whatever.
So, I see. Well, the probability of having something like O.
To have something like this
is
impossible. I mean, it could happen. For example, if you access the disk by the whole device of the disk instead of the partition, you could access this.
You can access that, but to have a duplicate there is extremely unlikely. Have a duplicate content of which is unaligned. Which actually, if it is unaligned, it probably does not make sense from a file system standpoint.
Yeah, but if it's unaligned, that's what we want. Actually, for example, if two VMs having data, one has a file system in one partition and the other in another partition.
But each would be aligned to their respective partition beginning.
Of course.
But here we are talking about data that's not aligned to the beginning of its own partition, right?
Yeah, but still it wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter, but I'm saying that whether it makes sense to... I guess this is more powerful than restricting ourselves to aligned pages.
Exactly, yeah.
But the benefit, I'm just wondering if we actually get any benefit out of doing this. Because from a semantic meaning standpoint, I don't think having something like this would make much sense. In having a duplicate which is not aligned, except for 0 pages, I think it's the probability is really, really small.
I mean, when you say having a duplicate, you mean having on cache a portion of disk that is on a partition but is not aligned to the partition. That's what you're saying. You're saying doesn't make sense to have that on cache because...
No, I'm not saying that it does not make sense to have it on cache. I'm saying that it does not make sense that it does exist on disk.
Oh.
You will have that you have a duplicate for a page that is aligned to the beginning of the partition with a page that is not aligned to the beginning of the partition.
Okay, now I see. Okay.
So I think the probability of having N, M and O,
okay,
N and M are aligned is great, but let's say N and O are duplicates, is probably really small, because from a file system semantic standpoint, it is a low probability event, extremely low probability event.
Yeah.
Unless you're using two different file systems that share the same content, and one of them is not designed to create data which is aligned to the partition, page aligned to the partition.
Okay.
But anyway, so now I see how it would work. Although I still have some questions, it sort of seems that there are several steps here. First is that you have all the sector checksums, and then you populate the base disk using the traces as a guide to populate the disk, and then you replay the trace, right? And of course, then you need to analyze the results.
Yeah.
Okay. So you actually did the sector wise.
The modules. The collection done sector wise, and I'm hashing sector wise. But now, the setup of the disk has to be modified.
Setup of the disk.
But I'm considering the case of having multiple pages per request, so it's pretty much the same.
So, and the reason for doing it this way is because you're saying it's not easy to get partition alignment information?
No, I could, but this is nice and simple.
This is simpler, you think?
Yeah.
And it's the only extra overhead is that you will have to search for groups of 8 sectors that are similar.
Yeah, but that's for the construction.
That's for the construction of the disk.
Yeah. The only other overhead is that now my pointers to my, I have to use sectors instead of block numbers. I mean, if we use partitions, a sector is a fair partition block number.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are using sectors instead.
Mm-hmm.
And this partition block number might be smaller. Actually, it will be pretty much the same.
No, it will be the same.
Yeah.
Having a sector is probably smaller than having two pieces of information.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what about the static similarity and dynamic similarity graphs?
Yeah, so for static similarity, what I plotted there on the wiki is just as you increase the number of copies, how we will perform. And for the dynamic, what I should plot is execution time, performance given. That's pretty much all the graphic I was.
So this is static similarity.
This is static similarity, and this is time for the head optimization without caching. And this was only to show the thing that I was telling you the last time, that for example, given 10 copies, the execution time is the same as having the same number of random requests in the size of the disk divided by 10.
Okay, so
the difference?
No, with this dotted line.
Dotted line is the
for a smaller disk.
Yeah.
And having one copy.
No. For example, if you are here, the dotted lines means that the disk is divided in 10.
And only one copy per.
And only one copy, yeah.
And here you have 10 copies. And
10 copies and the whole disk.
And the whole disk.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the thing I was commenting to you last time. seemed interesting to me. Like,
so, yeah, I mean, these lines are not very similar, but they are close, I guess. What I'm thinking is, what we are looking at is this graph, is this line, the solid line, right?
Exactly.
That is,
yeah,
the line which is of interest to us.
Yeah.
And it seems that we have random requests. There is no locality, correct?
No, there's no locality. It's totally random.
Completely random.
Completely random.
And completely random requests. That is, I think, one of the issues that will, this is, will be an underestimate of the performance improvement that we can get. Because in real workloads, there is locality in the data,
yeah,
that's being accessed, which means the overhead for I/O is not as bad as random.
Okay. Yeah.
And what that means is, if you can save a long seek and make it a small seek, you're reducing substantial overhead, because the only high overhead operations are the long seeks. Because if there is locality, most of the I/O operations is high in the workload. Most of the I/O operations are short seek.
Yeah.
There are some I/O operations which are long seeks. So the way you can think about this is that maybe 90%, I shouldn't say 90%, let me say it to be more fair, let's say 75% are because of local requests.
Okay.
And because there is locality here, the performance is good. So although the 75%, maybe they take only 25% of the time. 75% local requests take 25% time,
mm-hmm,
of disk time. And then there are some requests which are non-local, and they can contribute to substantially higher time.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we are saying is that if we can reduce this 25% to even 10%,
mm-hmm,
then we can substantially reduce this overhead. So which means that if my original time is 1x, then my new time will be, so I'm reducing by 10%, so this will be instead maybe 0.75 times 10 divided by 25 plus 0.25 times 90 divided by 75 x, something like this. So this will be 0.3 plus 0.3, which is 0.6x relative to 1x. So I don't know if this calculation is makes sense to you or not.
Yeah,
I'm saying is that most of the local requests are already good.
Mm-hmm.
The reason this performance suffers mostly is because of these non-local requests. Even if we convert a small fraction of the requests, of the total request, so here we are changing only 15% of the total request, but we are changing the ones that are high overhead requests.
Okay.
And although we change only 15%, we gain a 40% improvement in the performance, right? So this is sort of the argument for...
Could we say that these non-local requests are... Let's say the traces, the workload is divided on local requests and non-local requests. For the local requests, we cannot do much. It's
right.
Already as good as it can be.
With the head scheduling optimization.
Exactly.
But there are other optimizations that can help.
For the non-local request, we can see this portion of the workload as totally random and see this as a different workload like this.
Right.
So given two number of copies, we can reduce this 25% to half.
Right.
I mean not to half, to whatever you have with two copies, which is not very good, by the way.
No, actually, what we are saying here is that if you have, here we are reducing a fraction of these requests, which are long.
Mm-hmm. For the others, we cannot do anything.
Others, we cannot do anything. No, the way you can think about this is that I think this is I'm trying to see if we can use this graph to argue about this. Is that what you're trying to
do,
right? What can we say?
So what I'm trying to say is that, let's say you have for 75% of the request you cannot do anything. It's as good as it be. For 25% of the request, let's say these are totally random in a 500 gig space, all over the place. So for that, if you have two copies, you get that. If you have three copies, you get that.
If you have two copies, so you can reduce that time by 75% of the time by a certain value. I'm trying to see why this doesn't seem right to me, the arguing about it this way. Because here, the copies are also randomly distributed. How are the copies?
Here, the copies are randomly distributed, yeah.
Copies are randomly distributed. If the copies are randomly distributed, then and with two copies you have what, like 10% improvement?
Yeah. No, there is more. With two copies, from 100 to 90. No, it's very, very little.
So 5% improvement,
yeah.
With two copies. These two copies are randomly distributed. So if I reduce from 25%, how do I know whether this becomes local, or how many requests become local requests? Because it could be that even with two copies, I still have non-local requests, right?
I mean, the most locality you can have with two copies is splitting the thing to half.
Mm-hmm.
With three copies, you'll split it to one third.
Yeah. If you split it to half, then actually the performance should improve much more than that. If you split it to half, because instead of your seek being one third, your seek will be 1/6.
Yeah, that was what I was saying. The one third thing wasn't very intuitive, because for example for this dotted line is without module and anything, it's just measuring the time of the same request by splitting the size of the work set.
Okay.
And so for half, I see this 10%, which is not 1/3 minus.
No, but that includes also rotational delay.
Ah, yeah, that's the issue. Yeah. No, but actually, these are very small requests.
Yeah, but the rotational delay can be on full rotation, which is substantially large.
Yeah, that's true.
The rotational delay is different than transfer time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the other thing. So, rotational delay really is...
So, what you're saying is that rotational delay should be, let's say, here. I mean, it should be as whatever it needs to be, so this minus this is 1/3. So it should be like here.
I don't know if you can calculate it that way, but rotational delay can be substantially large. So if this is what I expect, sort of standard disk drive with 7200 RPM.
Mm-hmm.
Then rotational delay, full rotation is 8.3 milliseconds. So on an average, which would be half a rotation, is 4.15 milliseconds rotational delay. And you need to look at then how much is the seek. The seek is, you know, for these drives, it would, I think we looked at it last time, was something like 14 milliseconds or 13 milliseconds.
Yeah.
For full stroke seek.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that you again have around 6 milliseconds, 5 to 6 milliseconds for 1/3 seek. So seek is as big as rotation, or for average rotational delay. Average seek is almost equal to average rotational delay for most modern disk. So if we cut seek
half by having to cut this, for rotational delay we cannot do anything.
So if we cut seek by half, seek time by half, then we cut overall time by 1/4. So, but still it's not bad. I mean, even if you have 10% improvement.
Actually, I never see how B can be, I mean, I always hear that number, but now it feels bigger for some reason than rotational delay.
Rotational delay is very, is substantial, can be substantial, and is typically substantial, especially when you have locality. When you have locality, seeks are small. And seeks can be as small as 2 milliseconds.
Waiting
or even
for
less.
The whole...
Seeks can be as small as 1 or 2 milliseconds, especially if you have locality in one area. But then rotational delay is always going to be large because you don't have control on which part of the track the data is on unless you do something smarter.
Yeah.
So that's why something like a disk mimic makes sense, because disk mimic also takes into account the rotational delay. And choosing not just the closest replica, but also the replica which can be accessed with total with the minimum seek plus rotational delay time. But I don't think we have time to get into that. I think simple seek optimization is good enough.
Yeah.
But even if we can show there is 10% or 20%, 10 to 20% performance improvement, I think it's reasonable. So I guess
I have to work on those traces.
And what about the dynamic similarity curve? Do you have that or?
No, I haven't thought it, but it's really the idea of that was to, given the dynamic similarity X, place where are the other applications. But now that's wrong because we have wrong data.
The dynamic similarity data is wrong?
No, no, no. I mean, the traces we have to calculate dynamic similarity is garbage.
The traces are not garbage, I guess.
I mean, yeah, but I don't have the... are pretty much garbage because I have the sectors being red and I have the content after a month.
Oh, so you're saying that you don't have the read checksums.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the micro benchmark.
Ah, okay. But, okay, so what you like to see is like even a specific size of cache.
And a specific dynamic similarity. What can be the performance improvement that can be expected? And I think having these two graphs will help, certainly.
Okay.
And this is static similarity where we define number of copies. So here we are defining number of copies, not the percentage similarity, right?
Yeah, but at the end would be pretty much the same.
Because number of copies sounds a little bit... Oh, number of copies. Of how many data items?
There are 8,000 requests.
And two copies of each request?
Yeah.
Of each data?
Yeah.
There is actually 50% similarity if we have a copy of two.
Yeah. But at least for me, the number two copies makes more sense than 50% similarity.
To me, 50% makes more sense because here two copies means each data item has two copies. But we could have some data items that have several copies, some which do not have any copies.
But this is the average, right?
This is sort of the average
number
of copies per block.
Yeah.
I guess we could directly derive the other information from this, but also I'm thinking how much. So did you do synchronous requests here?
Yeah. If I sent a bunch of synchronous requests, I wouldn't see them as much performance because the scheduler would be doing something smart.
No, the scheduler will do something smart and you want it to do something smart, right?
Yeah, but it's the same as having... I mean, it's going to the same as having... For local requests, we cannot do that much.
Mm-hmm.
The same as you send a lot of requests and the scheduler is doing magic. Over that, it's hard to do. Well.
Mm-hmm. I see. I need to think about this experiment a little bit more because there are some assumptions that we are making, like 8,000 requests, 8,000 data blocks with...
The interesting thing is that before I was doing it with... 1,000 requests, and this difference is pretty much the same. I mean, this overhead is like constant. Must be the processing overhead, something like that. That's why we should be showing real disk time, not processing time, not total execution time.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're saying that this is not dominated by I/O, maybe?
No. I mean, this difference, I'm sure it's not I/O. Not super sure. That.
For instance, can you measure the average D2C time or something like that?
Yeah, I could. Yeah. That should be better than showing this time. Yeah.
In using average D2C time, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't. a little bit more of work, but yeah, we should do that.
Okay, so why don't you do that? So we know exactly that we are computing disk and comparing disk performance,
mm-hmm.
and then also the dynamic similarity,
okay,
micro benchmark. I think that will give us some idea, because I think we have to set our expectations with right measures. It's not expect something like 50% performance improvement.
Yeah.
When these optimizations are put together, then maybe we get something reasonable. So we have head optimization, disk head optimization. We have caching optimization, mm-hmm. and the third is to create more replicas.
And for the write, we saw that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, and I guess the idea is that there are some data which form part of the working set, and we don't need to have two copies of everything on disk to be there. We just need maybe two or three copies of key data in the working set.
Non-local request should be...
That's not what I mean, because we cannot predict which will be non-local and which will be local.
After a run, we can know that what is...
That could be...
Maybe some applications do this kind of request.
Yeah, but that's very hard to predict, I think.
Okay.
Having, this request will always be non-local. I don't think... What I mean is that there are... We saw some papers recently about, remember the Jim Gray paper that we discussed last time? Disk data is getting colder.
Yeah.
So which means that the working set of data that is being used at any given time is much smaller than the size of the entire disk. So if let's say that over a duration of 1 month, only 10% of the disk is actually used,
mm-hmm.
then what we can do is create copies for only that 10% of the data. And we are not then requiring a replica degree of 2. Maybe we are talking about replica degree of much less than 2, because we are not creating 2 copies of everything. We are only creating 2 copies of the data that is being accessed.
Yeah.
So I think that's why looking at this micro benchmark is only an indicator. It's sort of the worst case performance gain that we can have. If everything is equally popular, then we need to create 10 copies of everything to get that performance improvement, right? But if I have only 5 or 10% of my data that's being actively used, I just replicate 10 times or 5 times 5% of my data. This size does not blow up by a factor of 2. It's much less than an effective replica degree of 2. Although I'm creating 5 replicas of the popular data.
So what you're saying is we should work on get this popularity.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is that we could look at working sets and keep track of working sets on let's say weekly basis, and then we create replicas based on that. Because then, or we create replicas every night or something like that. Let's see, okay, these are the data that became popular.
When you say this popular data, you're not meaning physically local data.
No,
it's data that is after the same. It's temporal locality you're talking about, right?
No, I'm just looking at the working set. Let's say today,
mm-hmm.
in whole day today, some data on disk was accessed.
Yeah.
I create replica of that data.
Mm-hmm.
I don't create replica of everything else. And there are studies that are pointing to the fact that even over a duration of 3 months, only 10% of the disk is being utilized. only 10% of the data on disk is actually used.
Oh.
So if we identify the 10% of data and make 10x copies, we actually have an effective duplicate degree of only 2.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
So I think when we look at this micro benchmark and say, okay, if I look at a replication degree of 10, in fact, I have, I don't know, maybe 20 to 30% performance gain.
Yeah.
And that is something substantial, right?
Yeah, having 10 copies. Yeah.
We are not creating 10 copies of everything. We are only creating a 10,
no, no, no,
10
that,
copies
that's
of
what you're saying. This is,
I'm trying to read
yeah.
this graph and
yeah.
how it would affect our results. Interpret this graph in a more, realistic manner.
Okay. So... so what do we do on that track?
And if we then put similarity measure here, if you put a similarity measure, I guess it would be more or less the same. So yeah, so along that dimension, what we can do is, I think it is important for us to I'm trying to see how we can do trace-based evaluation of something like that. And we... it's something for you to think about. I think we
yeah.
don't need to decide right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we already spent a long time in our discussion. So just something for that, that you should be thinking more about.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
Think about how we can use this idea of creating replicas, the more, and how do we evaluate this idea? Now, is there an easy way to evaluate instead of implementing the actual system and
yeah.
and running real work? So I did see your email about the HPCA rejection. Yes.
Oh yeah, I was in that confidence actually. So I it was expected.
I guess it probably makes sense to spend some time to revise it for Eurosys, right?
Yeah, actually I know what could be improved. I know what experiments I should be doing, but there is no time. I have the candidacy, the distributed processing class is killing me.
Really?
The projects are huge, Well, maybe not that huge, but debugging this distributed application gets a pain. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the time wasn't good, but I know what can be done, and I mean maybe plan could be sent to Eurosys with some minor changes. I've been doing some small experiments, like increasing the number of VMs,
mm-hmm.
like Charles told me. Maybe with some small reviews, we can send to Eurosys, and if it gets rejected, we have to spend time, but I hope that after this month, I'll have time to work on it. So I don't know. Yeah.
So about IOD duplication, it seems that we probably cannot send to Eurosys, right?
To Eurosys, that's impossible.
So then we should...
Eurosys is this week, right?
It's on 7th of November.
Actually...
let's target USENIX then. I think it is important for you to be unrushed and think calmly.
Yeah.
As...
but the problem with this work is that since 2 months, it feels like it's almost there. And because it was almost there, I haven't worked on replaying the traces for all those other applications. And then I started replaying the applications lately, and I discovered that
mm-hmm.
I have garbage for traces. And It's always a little bit missing.
I would also suggest that you take longer term traces this time. Don't worry about urosis, okay?
Okay.
Let's go for USENIX technical conference. And let us do more longer term traces, because an optimization, for instance, doing replication, you don't want to do replication every 1 hour. You want to maybe do replication once a day or even once a week. So, but to evaluate that, you need much longer traces. So now that you are collecting traces, I would suggest that you collect traces for at least 3 or 4 weeks.
3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks. So that we have something reasonable to evaluate.
Okay.
I mean, you can always speed up the playback of the traces. I mean, we replayed Borg 1 week traces in 1 hour.
Yeah, you know, of course.
So,
yeah.
It's just the collection that takes time, but doing actual experiments will not take much time.
No, my wow was because feels like, I mean, for a given workload, let's see, our home workload, you do all days pretty much the same, right?
Yeah, but that's the whole point. I mean, if your working set is more or less the same.
I mean, if we're talking about this copy optimization, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
And that's how you would do it if you want to implement the copy optimization. And I think it makes perfect sense to implement the copy optimization.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about having duplicates and...
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Ricardo.
Thank you.
See you. Thank you.